1 Corinthians. I told you that my standard practice is to work through a letter of the Bible, and we'll come back to 1 Corinthians here in a couple of weeks, but today we're going to be in the book of Romans. So if you would open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And before we get started, I often don't do a very good job of just communicating some of the things that we have going on here during the week. And so I just want to draw your attention to your bulletin and just see some of the activities that we have here, Bible studies that we have here throughout the week. On Tuesday nights, we have Grief Share at 7 p.m., led by Miss Ellie Dillingham. Ellie, you're back there. Can you raise your hand just in case anybody doesn't know you? So Miss Ellie will be here 7 o'clock on Tuesdays leading that. On Wednesday nights, we have our children's ministry with Awana, and that starts at 6:30. And so anybody that wants to bring their kids here, please do. They'll be well cared for. They'll be learning the Bible. We also have Bible study on Wednesday nights. We're going through the letter written by James. And they call it the Book of James. We're going through James right now. We just started chapter 2. We'll be starting chapter 2 this week. Thursday nights, youth group, 7 p.m. Here in the building. So there's a lot that's going on here. Tom Smith Sr. started a new Bible study this morning. Raise your hand, Tom, in case anybody doesn't know you. Started a series called The Forgotten God on the Holy Spirit. And so 9:30 on Sunday mornings, you'll want to be here for that. And so please just take a look at some of the things that are going on here, and I hope that you'll be blessed by the various ministries that we have. So, Romans chapter 5, just two verses today, verses 1 and 2, and I think they'll be familiar to you. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You this morning for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This group of people would never have assembled in any other place other than this. And we assemble in this place together because we have been bought with the precious blood of Your Son. He has purchased this time of fellowship. He has purchased this time where we can study Your Word. He has purchased this time where we can praise You. It's all about Him and about His work. And so please turn our focus, please turn our hearts toward Jesus this morning. And we ask it in His name. Amen. I just want to state right from the beginning what the main point of what this message will be about this morning. And it's this. Don't measure your value to God based on what you've done, good or bad. Don't measure your value to God based on what you've done, good or bad. Base your value to God solely on the person of Jesus Christ. You are valuable to God based on the work that His Son has done. You're accepted by God because of Jesus. This is where freedom is truly found. And so I hope that this morning as we gather here together to praise God's name, that our focus is Christ today. We're here to praise Him. We're here to worship Him. We're here to honor Him because of what He has done. Some of you are, by almost any human standard, really good people. Some of you are really good people. You have high integrity. You do a lot of good things. You're dependable. You take care of the poor. You give. These are all very good things. But because you have not measured up to God's standard, His perfect holiness, as a sinner who falls short of the glory that God made you to have, all those things arrive in a package that has already been soiled. So those good things that you've done in God's eyes don't amount to anything as far as salvation is concerned. Some of you here this morning, by all human standards, may not be so good. You may know that you're not very good. You feel like you've got a lot of dirt in your life. You know all those skeletons that are in your closet. You spend a lot of time trying to get away from those things. You don't want to be reminded about them anymore. You've fallen more times than you can count. You're so aware of your failures, you don't see how it's possible that anybody could accept you, especially this holy God. If any of those scenarios, either of those scenarios, describe you, or you fall somewhere in between, please hear this. You should never think that you're at a place where things are so good that you don't need Christ. Nor should you ever be at a place where you're so low that you believe that Christ won't help you. Does that make sense? You should never be at a place because you feel like you've done things so well that you don't need Jesus. Or that you've ever come to a place where you are so low that you feel like Jesus won't help me even if I call upon Him. We should never be at either one of those two places. No one is too good. No one is too bad. Everybody in this place this morning, whether you've come in here thinking that you're good or you're not so good, everybody here needs Jesus. Just plain and simple. That's what we need to be about. We need to be about Christ. Everything we do here is about Him and His glory and His kingdom. It's not about ours. Everybody here needs Him. And everybody here can be joined to His perfection, His goodness, His righteousness, as Paul says here, by faith. By faith. Instead of staying mired in our circumstances or mired in our failures, we find our identity in Him. His life becomes our life. His death becomes our death. I am identified with Jesus now. It's about Him. It's not about me. And that happens as we trust in the promises of God. In our passage, Paul has spent the first three chapters of Romans describing how there's nobody that is too good for God's judgment. Everybody needs a Savior. No one can stand in the presence of God on his own. We're all guilty. We're all unrighteous. Nobody's seeking after God. It's God that's seeking after us. And so he spends three chapters describing the plight of humanity and how far we are from God. But at the end of chapter 3, he gives us hope. And he describes how God, in His mercy, sent His Son. Sent His Son to take our place and to shed His blood, blood that we couldn't have shed on our own. And then in chapter 4, he describes Abraham. And what's so special about Abraham to Paul is that he believed in the promise that God gave him. You remember what God promised to Abraham? He promised him a son. He promised him a son, but what was so difficult about that for Abraham is that he was so old by now. He was past child procreation days, and he didn't see how it was possible that he was going to have a son. But God promised to him that he's actually going to have a son that would end up producing descendants that are as many as the sand on the seashore or the stars in the sky. So to Abraham, that was an amazing promise that God gave to him. And Paul says that Abraham was counted righteous by God simply because he believed in this promise. God made a promise to him. Abraham believed it, and God said to him, Abraham, you're righteous. You are good because you believe in my promises. Well, God is making a promise to you this morning. God is making a promise to you in His Word. If you believe that He has sent His Son to pay your debt, you will be justified according to this passage. And what does justified mean? It means two key things. The first thing that justified means is that you are not guilty. As you stand in God's courtroom before a holy, righteous, and just God, you are not guilty. You are forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ. The second thing is, He actually gives you something. He takes away your sins, but He replaces it with something else. And He gives you the righteousness of His Son. All the righteousness that Jesus stands for, all the good things that He did, are now credited to your account. They are yours. Takes away your sin, gives you Jesus' righteousness. This is good news, friends, for sinners like me. This is good news for us this morning. That by faith, by trusting in God's promise, you are linked to Christ. You are joined to Him. And your sins are forgiven. And you now have His righteousness. Only those who are not guilty and are righteous can stand before God and not fall. Everybody else is going to fall if they don't cloak themselves in the person of Christ. Think about that. The day is coming when everybody in this room is going to stand before God. How often does that ever cross your mind? that life only lasts for so long. Everybody here will stand before God, just you and Him. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? God, I did the best that I could. You know, you gave me this to work with, and I did the best that I could with what you gave me. Are you going to say, I'm better than those people, though? You know, at least I'm better than them. But you're judging yourself by how good they are and how good you think you are. At least I'm better than they are, God. Are you going to say to God, I want it to be fair. Just be fair with me, God. Do you want to ask God for fairness? Because do you know what fair actually means? That I'll be judged for my own sins? Do we want fair? I don't want fair. I don't think that you do either. You're not going to ask for that, nor are you going to spend any time making a case based on your own goodness. Trusting in Christ is going to be your only plea before God. You're going to say, I believe in your Son. I believe in what He has done for me, a sinner. And because of Him, God, that's the only way that I can stand in your sight. All Christ, all Him, not me. And so this passage tells us that we've been justified by faith. What is faith? What is faith? It's believing and trusting in God's promise in Jesus. Believing and trusting in God's promise in Jesus. Just like Abraham believed the promise that God gave to him, God gives you a promise to trust in His Son. And so by faith, as you believe in that promise, God unites you to Him and in His goodness. And in God's eyes, you are now good because of what He has done. It's no longer about you and your failures, nor the good that you think that you've done. It's all Christ. You see how good this is? It's not about me, because you and I both know how much we failed. We realize how much we failed. How much we've not just failed other people, but how we fail God. And because of that, it's like we expect some sort of judgment or punishment for it, but God says you can be excused from that judgment because of the work of your Lord Jesus Christ. And because of Christ, this passage lists three things. Three things that we have access to because we have been joined to Him by faith. And the first one is peace. Peace. Have you ever had a relationship that went sour? You ever had a relationship that went sour? You know, you may have said something, the other person said something, both of you may have done something, and that relationship could just never get back on track. And so whenever you're in the same room or around them, you just feel uncomfortable, maybe worse. Maybe it gets worse than just discomfort. You don't know how it is that relationship will ever be repaired. Well, humanity's relationship with God has been soured or spoiled because of our rebellion against God and failing to worship Him as God and worshiping other things. I think so often we think that we're passive in this, that we've just fallen into sin. It just happened to us. No. Scripture describes us as rebels who are against God, dead in our trespasses and sins. And if something doesn't happen to repair that relationship, it just stays that way. That something is Christ. He is the something that happened. He is the something that God gave so that we won't have a spoiled relationship. We won't receive punishment. We actually get peace. Peace. So by faith, you receive peace from God. That your relationship is now good and acceptable and peaceful. No longer at war, no longer in rebellion because of what somebody else has done on your behalf. The second thing Paul says here that we have by faith is hope. Hope. I don't think that Paul is describing the way we normally would use the word hope. I've got a basketball team that's playing today, and I hope they win. They might not, though. So there's some doubt. There's some doubt in me about whether or not they will. That's not what Paul's describing here, though. He's describing something that is certain. It is a certain expectation, he says here, of the glory of God. I expect it to happen. I don't doubt that it is because what Jesus has done is certain. So is my hope. He's purchased my hope. It's mine because of what He has done for me. So I don't have to have any doubt that I'm going to receive this glory that God promises. You will share in the glory of God. Just as chapter 3 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, not with Jesus. No longer will you fall short of the glory of God. You obtain an inheritance of it because of what He has done. It is certain. So in Him, you don't fall short anymore. You take part in it. He is your hope. And through His blood, you have this hope. Third, Paul says, you have grace. What a great word. What a great word. Love, grace. We need to be a people of grace because we are a people that have received grace upon grace in Christ. And it's a flexible word. It's used in a lot of different ways in Scripture, but I think it generally means God's favor toward a person, God's favor toward you, God's favor toward a person that enables her with God's own power to do through Christ what she couldn't do on her own. Because God has given you favor in Jesus, He enables you to do what you could not do by yourself. That is what His grace is. It's His favor toward you, His acceptance of you, but it is a power that He gives you to help you do what you could not do without Him. And you gain that through the person of Jesus Christ. And this passage says that you now stand in it. You're firm in it. You continue to receive it as you approach the throne of grace. You have access to the throne of grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, in His death, has purchased all of these for you. You have peace, you have hope, you have grace because He has bought them on your behalf. They are yours. They are a sure thing. They are your possession. Nobody can steal them from you. Now, our poor decisions and sometimes our circumstances veil the fact that these are ours from us. Have you ever experienced that? You have doubt. You forget about grace. Your hope starts to flounder a little bit. It certainly feels like I don't have peace with God, that I'm still at war with Him. But God wants us to know that in Jesus there is no condemnation for those who know Him, for those who have Him. And by looking to Him, we receive these, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what poor decisions that we make. If you've not seen thus far how this is good news for you, and you still may be thinking, you know, so what? I think a message or a lesson or anything eventually has to answer that question, doesn't it? So what? What difference does this make in my life? And so if that's not been answered for you already, I want to give you a couple of reasons why you can say, ah, I see why, so what? The first so what is that joy in Christ is now yours forever instead of eternal torment. You know, I hope that's good news. I hope that you've not gotten tired of hearing that. That might just sound like old hat by now. You have eternal joy and bliss through Jesus by faith instead of eternal punishment. Is that good news to you this morning? It's a pretty big deal. If for some reason that doesn't impact you or if that doesn't move your heart, maybe, just maybe this morning, you've come in here and not realized how desperate your situation is without Jesus. How closely you really need to cling to Him. Without Him, there's no hope. Without Him, there's no hope. Those might want to say that Buddha might help me. Buddha's not going to help you. The five pillars of Islam, those aren't going to help you. Hindus, Krishna, keeping religious rules or sacraments, they don't earn you any commendation from God or favor. Your horoscope, astrology, being spiritual, science, none of these things can gain you access to the throne of God. None of these things draw you closer to God. He has made it possible for you to draw near to Him only through the blood of His Son. Only through Jesus will you receive grace from God. Only through His blood will God's anger be satisfied. God is angry against sin. God is angry against sin. He's holy. He's just. How could He not be? He made us to honor Him and worship Him, but we don't. How could God not be displeased with that? So He will judge sin, and He has judged sin. He's placed your sin upon His Son and judged it fully in Him. And we receive the benefits from that. That is good news, friends. Sacrifice pays for sin. Blood covers sin. I know that's not a popular topic today, is it? We want to hear about what makes us feel good. Well, I hope the blood of Jesus makes you feel good this morning, because that is what God has provided for you, to cover your sins, to cleanse you from your sins. It was blood. Blood of the Lamb that God provided for us. Do you remember the story I brought up Abraham a little while ago? Remember when Abraham went up on the mountain with his son Isaac? You know, God had made this promise to Abraham that all the nations of the world will be blessed through your descendant, and that promised descendant was Isaac. But then God says, you need to go up on the mountain and sacrifice Isaac for me. Those two things seemed to clash a little bit, didn't they? Those two things don't seem to go together very well. How am I going to have all these descendants and all the world be blessed through this promised son if, God, you are calling me up on that mountain to slay him as a sacrifice for you? And when Isaac asks about the lamb, what does Abraham say to him? He says, God himself will provide the lamb. And God did provide a lamb for Abraham. And God has provided a lamb for you. And that lamb was his son. So, any other attempt at getting to God is a rejection of the provision that he has made for you. You don't try to go a different way. You don't think there are many ways. God has given us one way, and that is through his son. Do not reject the provision that God has made for you in Christ. So the first so what? The first so what is pretty big. Being justified by faith means that you're covered safely in the blood of the Lamb that God has provided for you. He took your place. God had him sacrificed so that you would not be sacrificed. The second so what is maybe a little bit more practical. Maybe a little bit more practical. Look at verse 2. It says that we now stand in this grace. So this grace that you have access to keeps your eyes fixed on Jesus now after salvation. So after salvation, this grace continues to do something on your behalf. And it reminds you that the good day or bad day, whether you have a good day or a bad day, success or failure, God is for you. God is for you. It means I don't have to base my relationship with God on my performance. There is real freedom to be found here. My relationship with God, my continuing relationship with God, is not based foundationally on what I do. I don't have to continue to maintain it in such a way that God could discard me or I might forfeit my salvation, because my salvation was not bought by me. It was never earned by me. It was earned by Jesus. So our eyes need to be firmly fixed on him. He is for me, because no matter what happens today, my permanent relationship with God is not based on how well I live. Going to church this morning, giving money, helping the poor, these aren't what make you loved and accepted by God. Jesus is. Jesus is what makes you acceptable to God. So failure to go to church, failure to give, failure to help the poor, these don't forfeit God's acceptance of you because you never earned it in the first place. Does that make sense? You didn't earn it. You're not going to lose it if you are trusting in the person of Jesus Christ. There is freedom here. Freedom from being self-righteous on the one hand, believing that because I've lived so well, because I have done so many good things, God must bless me. Or on the other hand, I have failed so much, God will never bless me. Those two things are both false. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. There's freedom from despair on one hand, because I'm feeling crummy about how poorly I'm doing. And there's freedom from self-righteousness on the other, because I'm feeling so justified at how well I'm doing. God says, look to my son. Regardless of how well you're living today, look at Jesus and see what he has done on your behalf. I want to use an illustration that I'm going to borrow from somewhere else. You may have read it, but I think it's helpful for us today. And it's about a good day and it's about a bad day. All right? And so I want you to imagine that tomorrow that you wake up and that everything goes well. I mean, you wake up early, you know, you get to spend some time with the Lord, you're praying, you're reading, you're blessed by what you see there. You go to work, all your interactions go well. Things are just right today. I'm feeling close to God. You ever had those days where you just feel so close to the Lord? I'm close to him. I feel his presence. And at the end of the day, you meet a person who doesn't know Christ, and you have an opportunity to share your faith with him. All right, let's imagine the next day. You wake up. You didn't catch that alarm. Oh, I'm late for work. I spent no time with the Lord. Everything is rushed. I feel stressed. Nothing at work seems to go right. Everybody that I interact with seems to be angry. I feel angry. I'm irritated. At the end of the day, you meet a person who doesn't know Jesus, and you have an opportunity to share your faith with that person. On which of those 2 days do you feel like God is going to enable you to share your faith well? I would say most of the people in here would say, on the good day, I feel like God is going to bless me more. I would say, not so. Not so. And why is that? And the reason is because how God blesses you is not based on how well you did. God's blessing for you is found in His Son. When I have that opportunity, am I right now trusting in Jesus to give me grace? Because He tells me in His Word that I'm standing in grace firmly. So which of those days would you feel as though God is going to bless you? And I would think, most of us would think, the day that I performed well. And somehow God is more loving toward me that day. He's happier with me that day. And because He's happier and more loving to me, He's going to give me the grace that I need in order to do what God has called me to do. But God says, look to Jesus and stand firmly in the grace that He has given you that was bought by His Son. We have access to grace by trusting that God will be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm a sinner on every day. Regardless of how well I perform, I'm a sinner. And God is going to give me that grace if I am looking to His Son, Jesus. Doesn't matter how my day has gone. You might say, well, hold up there, preacher. Hold up, preacher. All that just doesn't sound right to me. That doesn't sound right to me. You mean to tell me that it doesn't matter how I live? It doesn't matter how I live, it doesn't matter what I do? No. No. Some would hear a message like this and think, you know, since God is going to accept me anyway, I'll do whatever I like. I'll do whatever I like, as if there's a loophole in there somewhere where I can have my cake and I can eat it too. I can just do both because God's just going to give me grace no matter what. No. God's grace, Paul says elsewhere, doesn't give us license to live however we want, but grace, true grace from God, does something else. And Paul tells Titus in chapter 3, he says, grace trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for the blessed hope, the appearing of our glory, of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. And so a proper understanding of real grace, God-giving grace, according to Paul, doesn't lead us to abuse its privileges, but instead leads us to commit our lives toward godly living and good works. That's what grace does. Some might want to try to take advantage of it and claim grace as if God will not, it won't matter to Him what we do. It does matter to God. His grace will lead us toward godliness and righteousness because we are standing connected to His Son by faith. And so I want you to find freedom in Christ this morning. True freedom. Good person or not so good. Your past or is good, or your past is not so good according to what human standards are. Good day or bad day. I want to ask you this morning to trust in Jesus. No matter how your day's already going, look to Jesus this morning and know that you are accepted by God in Him. In Him. It's not us that makes ourselves acceptable to God. So discover in Jesus what freedom to truly live is. Not the bondage of fear, and not the bondage of duty. I must do this in order for God to bless me. Look to Christ. I don't want you to have a performance-driven relationship with the Lord. I want you to have a faith-driven relationship with God, and He will work the things that He needs to work in you by grace to transform you. So trust in Christ. This is good news. I hope this is good news for you this morning. Because most of the time we call this something else. This is the gospel. This is the gospel this morning, that you are accepted by God through someone else. Because we could not achieve what God has called us to do, but His Son could, and His Son did. A man named Jerry Bridges helped me to understand this. And I want to close this morning with a quote from him that's relevant to today's message. And in it he says, "The gospel, applied to our hearts every day, frees us to be brutally honest with ourselves and with God. The assurance of His total forgiveness of our sins through the blood of Christ means that we don't have to play defensive games anymore. We don't have to rationalize and excuse our sins." You've ever done that? Try to make excuses for our sins. He says, in the gospel, you don't have to do that anymore. You can just be brutally honest because Christ has dealt with those things. Look to Jesus this morning. We can say we told a lie instead of saying we exaggerated a bit. We can admit an unforgiving spirit instead of continuing to blame our parents for our emotional distress. We can call sin exactly what it is, regardless of how ugly and shameful it may be, because we know that Jesus bore that sin in His body on the cross. With the assurance of total forgiveness through Christ, we have no reason to hide from our sins anymore. You don't need to hide from them anymore. By faith in Christ, He has dealt with your sins. And you're acceptable to God by faith. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You, Lord, most of all for Jesus. We thank You for the love that You have shown each one of us in Him. And that by faith we can be acceptable in Your sight. And by that faith, God, You'll lead us to repent from ungodly living. And to live in the righteousness that You have given us in Your Son. God, make that possible by Your grace today. Lord, if there are any here today that don't know Jesus, I pray, Lord, that You will apply this message to their hearts and that they would crave to know the God who made them and to know Him through Your Son. Thank You, God, for Him. Lord, lead us to continue to praise Him today, not just in this building as we close in song, but as we walk out of this place. Lord, set our hearts on fire for Christ, to share that glory and that good news with those around us, God. There is a dying world around us. Give us the courage and the boldness, Lord, to share that good news, if it's truly good to us. Lord, lead others to know it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.